When I was a young boy, Tantra was just a matter of blind faith. At age 24, I lost my own country, and then after coming to India, started really reading Tsongkhapa's explanations on emptiness. Then, after moving to Dharamsala, I put more effort into the study and practice of the stages of the path, emptiness, and Tantra. So it was only in my late 20s, after gaining some experience of emptiness, that deity yoga made sense. One time in the main temple in Dharamsala, I was performing the ritual of imagining myself as a deity of highest yoga tantra called Guhya Samaja. My mind continuously remained on the recitation of the ritual text, and when the words I myself came, I completely forgot about my usual self in relation to my combination of mind and body. Instead, I had a very clear sense of I in relation to the new, pure combination of mind and body of Guhya Samaja that I was imagining. Since this is the type of self-identification that is at the heart of tantric yoga, the experience confirmed for me that with enough time, I could definitely achieve the extraordinary deep states mentioned in the scriptures. To practice Tantra, it is especially important to gain access to the transmission of blessings from previous great beings. Blessings also exist in sutra practice, but they are crucial in Tantra. The initial means of entry to these blessings is through the door of initiation. There are four classes of tantras: action, performance, yoga, and highest yoga tantra, each with its own initiations to ripen the mind for practice, and each with its own meditations. Where do you receive initiation? In a mandala, comprised of ideal surroundings and divine residence, which are all manifestations of compassion and wisdom. There are mandalas of varying complexity for all four tantras. Some are painted, others are constructed from colored sands, and still others comprise a special class of concentration mandalas. In order to receive initiation and to take vows in a mandala of Yoga Tantra or highest Yoga Tantra, the Lama conducting the ceremony must have the full complement of qualifications. All four sets of tantras place special emphasis on the attributes of the Lama, in keeping with Buddha's detailed descriptions of teachers' qualifications for the various stages of the path. Remember also Buddha's admonition mentioned earlier to rely not just on the person, but on the doctrine. You should not be overwhelmed by a teacher's reputation. Most importantly, the teacher must know the doctrine, the practices, well. In the two lower tantra sets, action and performance, there is no clear indication that tantric vows must be taken upon initiation. Nevertheless, there are many pledges to be kept. In the two higher tantra sets, yoga and highest yoga, after receiving initiation with all of its facets, you must take tantric vows in addition to the pledges. Yoga tantra and highest yoga tantra have 14 basic vows, as well as lists of infractions to guard against. They differ in their respective paths, and therefore even the basic vows differ slightly. The practice of Tantra is mainly concerned with overcoming the appearance of yourself and your surroundings as ordinary. The aim of this is to overcome the conception of these as ordinary. Therefore, you first visualize yourself to have a Buddha's body, compassionate activities, resources, and abode. Hence, most of the pledges are concerned with substituting ideal for ordinary appearances. This imaginary substitution helps in restraining your own estimation of yourself, your companions, your environment, and your activities as being ordinary. Except for the particular vow of individual liberation that lasts just for 24 hours, all of the other vows of individual liberation are taken for an entire lifetime, although it is possible to rescind one's vows and give back one's ordination. By contrast, Bodhisattva and Tantric vows extend right through to the time of highest enlightenment, as long as one has not committed a root infraction. First, one assumes the morality of individual liberation. Then, one assumes Bodhisattva morality, and finally, Tantric morality. Householders who take the Bodhisattva and Tantric vows keep a householder's version of the vows of individual liberation. The Kalachakra Tantra, which flourished during the 11th century in India and became a principal tantra of the new translation schools in Tibet, states that if there are three teachers of tantra, one with householder's vows, another with the vows of a novice monastic, and a third with the vows of a full-fledged monastic, the person who has taken the vows of a full-fledged monastic should be considered higher than the others. This indicates the high estimation that even this tantric system places on the monastic morality. The Guhyasamaja Tantra similarly says that externally you should keep the discipline of the practice of individual liberation, and internally maintain an affinity for the practice of Tantra. In these ways, the practice of Sutra and Tantra work together.